Rat Pack, where you at?
Yo, what's going on? It's Friday, February 7th. I'm Jeff, and it's Super Bowl time, man. We're going to preview the game today, talk about what I think is going to go down. I will give a game prediction. It's been a hard one. A lot of years, it's fairly easy for me to arrive at these predictions. Last year, I thought it was pretty simple. I saw the Kansas City Chiefs winning that game, and I didn't think it was that tough of a decision. This year, honestly, 50-50. And I've been back and forth all week, but I will give you my final thoughts and a game prediction, and also tell you what my projections model has for this game. Hey, before we get to that, though, a couple quick things. First and foremost, FTNFantasy.com. You know the website. If you haven't checked it out and you listen to this podcast, I don't think you like me. And maybe you don't. That's fine. But I do know you will love FTNFantasy.com, so go check that out, especially if you're a fantasy baseball player gearing up for the fantasy baseball draft season. The other thing I wanted to put out there, and if you listen to the SiriusXM radio show, you hear me talk about this all the time, but if you're just a podcast listener, there's an app that I use for squares. You could call it a block pool. I know certain parts of the country call it a block pool, but I use it for my Super Bowl squares game. Actually, you can do it for a whole bunch of other things as well. You use it for pickup games and things like that, but it's called Angel Fire Games. And if you haven't used it, really, it makes the squares so much easier to do. You don't have to draw it up on a piece of paper or a big sheet of cardboard or anything like that. Don't have to get the ruler out. It's all there for you. It's on your mobile device. And you can invite, you can create your own private contest and invite anybody to them. And then the numbers are automatically generated at kickoff, so you don't have to worry about randomly assigning the numbers. All of that's nice and easy, and it tells you who won each quarter. Super simple to use. And also, if you don't have 100 people to get into a squares game, you can do the 5x5 squares, so there's only 25 squares instead of 100, and everybody gets two numbers then, so you only need 25 people. It's really cool. Makes things so much easier, but it's called Angel Fire Games, and I strongly suggest downloading it. It's great, great app. It's free to use, no deposits or anything, but you can actually win money in their public contests. Okay, enough of that stuff. Let's get into the game itself. I mean, plain and simple, we have a rematch, and that has happened before. And usually when we have a rematch, the team who won the first go round wins the second go round. In fact, the winner of the first game is 6-2 in Super Bowl history in the second meeting. Now, it isn't always like, you know, this is a rare instance because they are so close. And generally speaking, these are largely the same teams, but they're not the exact same teams. In fact, you know, one of the players who had a pivotal mistake towards the end of the game for Philadelphia in that last Super Bowl 2 years ago with the Chiefs winning 38-35 was James Bradbury. He's not obviously a part of this game, right? Bradbury had the crucial defensive holding call three plays before the field goal to win the game. So we have that. Not exactly the same teams, and they're very, very good teams. Now, in that game, they combined for 73 points. That was the third highest Super Bowl combined score all time. It was the only time in Super Bowl history where both teams went over 35 points. So it was a hell of a game. Chiefs came from behind like usual. I'll talk about that in a minute. But, you know, we have a rare instance here where there's a potential three-peat. In the history of the Super Bowl, it's never happened. Now, we did have the Packers won the first two, and they won the NFL championship the year before that. So technically three straight championships, but no three-peat in the Super Bowl era. The Packers also had another one earlier in their franchise history, so they're the only franchise to win three straight championships in the history of the NFL. But never had it in the Super Bowl, never even had anybody get an opportunity to do so, so that's where this is so unique. We haven't had a three-peat in major professional sports in the United States since the Lakers in 02. The Yankees had did the three-peat right before them in the late 90s. But man, never happened in football. So obviously this is unique. Kansas City, 9 straight playoff wins heading into this one, second longest streak all time. These teams were awesome in the regular season. They combined for 29 regular season wins. That's tied with the 84 49ers-Dolphins Super Bowl for the most in a Super Bowl matchup all time. Now, these teams didn't face each other in the regular season this year. Philly did beat them last year, but whatever. I'm not really reading too much into that one. Previous to that game, though, Andy Reid was 7-0 against his former team, the Eagles. Now he's 7-1. Of course, Reed did coach the Philadelphia Eagles from 1999 to 2012. He's actually the winningest coach both in Eagles history and Chiefs history. He has more wins now with the Chiefs than he did with the Eagles. He has 143, had 130 with the Eagles. But obviously a storied career for Andy Reid. Tremendous success, especially when coming off the bye. He's 33-7 in his career. That is by far the best mark of any coach coming off byes. And you can include like a postseason bye. Like this is a bye for both teams. Neither one of them played last week. Kansas City. This is a game of inches, we know that. And Kansas City has definitely displayed that this season. 12-0 in one-score games, including the playoffs this year. That is the most a single season all time. That's incredible. It's incredible. It really is. It's also incredible how clean they've been. They've gone 12 straight playoff games without more penalties than their opponent. They have not been penalized for roughing the passer in the last 488 dropbacks in the playoffs. The last game where we saw a roughing the passer out of Kansas City was in the 2021 wildcard round. It was Ben Roethlisberger, by the way. Now, I know what people can do with that information, and I'm not going to do it. I think the whole referees, it's just crap. It's dumb. It really is. Referees aren't going to be perfect, and some refs are not as good as others. Now, you're going to get the best crew for the Super Bowl, so you have that, but there's no conspiracy here. That's just silly. The simple fact of the matter is Kansas City is a team that doesn't commit a lot of penalties and knows how to win close games. That's what this is. And, you know, usually when we say, like, the simplest answer is the right answer, right? Occam's razor. Well, this is the simplest answer here, and yet people want to come up with these elaborate plots to try and justify that a team that doesn't commit a lot of penalties and knows how to win close games is winning a lot of close games and not committing a lot of penalties. I mean, it's surprising to me, but whatever. Mahomes. In his career, 17 postseason wins. That's second all-time to Brady. He hasn't quite been as good in the Super Bowl as he has in the rest of his playoff appearances. He's a 7-5 touchdown interception ratio in the Super Bowl, 36-3 in all other playoff games. But the key about Mahomes is it's not what the box score says in terms of his stats. It's what the box score says in terms of the Kansas City Chiefs, and he knows how to get it done. Hit all three of his victories in the Super Bowl have come with 10-plus point deficits. Like, that's insane. He's 3-1 in the Super Bowl, went down by 10 points. All other quarterbacks are 4-48 in those situations. He also, in overall, including the playoffs, is 19-14 when down by 10-plus points. He has a winning record when he's down. That is insane. 5-2 in the postseason, down by 10-plus points. All other quarterbacks since 2018 are 8-66 in the postseason when down by 10-plus points. He also has the second most game-winning drives in playoff history. Mahomes has 7. Tom Brady has the most, of course. That's 14. It's also interesting looking at the surrounding cast because it isn't necessarily an elite group outside of Kelce. And we're at the, you know, we're on the back nine of Kelce's career for sure. He said he's not going to retire after this season, but, you know, he's past his prime. He's still incredibly good, but he's past his prime. And then you look at everybody else. You have Kareem Hunt, you know, under 4 yards per carry, but he does get the job done in the goal line region of the field. You have Xavier Worthy surging. DeAndre Hopkins not really doing much in the postseason, really cooled off after a decent start to his time with Kansas City. You have guys like Juju, Hollywood Brown, maybe Sky Moore gets back out there. And while each one of those individual players is like, eh, when you put them all, except maybe Worthy because of his upside, but still, when you put them all together, they're so much greater than the sum of their parts. Like it is so much depth, and it allows Mahomes to spread the ball around, and each of these guys can play a key role in pivotal moments. Heck, we saw Samaje Perine make the key conversion in the conference championship game. So I think that's really the key there. Now you go over to the Philly side, and obviously history here. Well, this is the 5th in franchise history Super Bowl appearance. They only won in 2017. They were there in 1980, 2004, and 2022 as well. Those are the seasons, not the year. Remember, the Super Bowl always occurs calendar year-wise. technically after the season. So yes, the Super Bowl was in 2023, but it was the 2022 season. The Patriots were who they beat. Obviously, you probably remember that. But they've been so good this season, as I mentioned. And obviously, the 55 points against the Commanders, that's the most points scored by a team in conference championship history. You know, they scored 7 rushing touchdowns in that game. Hadn't happened since 1940. They also have the number one scoring and total defense this season, the number two rush offense. Now, history has not been kind to teams with the top two rush offense. The last time we saw a team win the Super Bowl with a top two rushing offense, 1998, the Broncos, Terrell Davis. And there's a lot of parallels there, obviously, between Davis in his 2,000-yard season and then Saquon in his 2,000-yard season. I'll get to Saquon a little bit more in a moment, but when we just think about what the Eagles were able to do this season, it's really incredible stuff. You added Barkley, one of the best free agency signings in recent memory, and he certainly was a high-profile signing. He wasn't cheap. But you added Zach Bond, who was cheap, and ended up being a first-team All-Pro. Like, that's insane. That rarely happens like that for an unheralded guy to go out and do what he did. They added key players as well, bringing back C.J. Gardner-Johnson, signing Mekhi Becton, and kind of revitalizing Mekhi Becton. You drafted Quinny Mitchell and Cooper DeJean, both Defensive Rookie of the Year candidates. They didn't win the award. Jared Verse was going to win it regardless, but they were in the mix. You also brought in Kellen Moore, who's probably going to be the next coach of the Saints, and Vic Fangio completely revitalized the defense, turned that thing around. What an offseason for Howie Roseman and company. Now, of course, Jalen Hurts is here. He's been here. This is the fourth pair of opposing quarterbacks to meet in multiple Super Bowls, by the way. The other three were Bradshaw and Staubach, that's pretty cool. Troy Aikman and Jim Kelly, also pretty cool. And then Eli Manning and Tom Brady. I mean, and those were epic games. Now, the winner of the first meeting also won the second meeting in all three of those instances, but Hurts could potentially buck the trend. If he does, he'd be the fourth quarterback to win a Super Bowl after losing his first start. Len Dawson, Bob Greasy, and John Elway managed to do it. Of course, John Elway lost his second one. We know Jim Kelly lost 4 of them. A loss here, he'd be the fifth one to lose his first two. So, yeah, Elway, Kelly, Fran Tarkenton, and Craig Morton all did that. Barkley. Now, he could set the all-time record for a single season, including the playoffs, in terms of rushing yards. He needs 30 yards to do it. He'd break TD from 1998. He'd also be, if they win the game, the first player since TD in 1998 to win the rushing title in the Super Bowl the same year. It is not something that's common. In fact, when you look at the leading rushers for teams over the last, you know, basically since TD, your leading rushers are barely making any money. They're not anywhere near the top in terms of rushing yards in the regular season. So it bucks the trend, definitely. Barkley also bucks the trend because he's had 3 100-yard performances in the postseason. Only 2 players have had 4 all-time. TD, 1997, and John Riggins did so in 1982. Now, it's going to be hard against the Chiefs. 18 straight games without allowing a 100-yard rusher. The last player to do so was Lamar back in week 1. Lamar Jackson did it. And if you want to look at playoff games, it's 18 straight playoff games without allowing a 100-yard rusher. The last one to do so was Sony Michel. Wow. All the way back in 2018 in the AFC Championship. So it's going to be a unique test, no doubt about it. Of course, he's a birthday boy as well on Sunday. Last player to play on his birthday, James White in 2019. You have A.J. Brown. You have Devontae Smith. You have Dallas Goedert. You know, there are a lot of things at play here in terms of weapons on both sides, but they don't have the depth. Like, Jahan Dotson is unlikely to step up. Johnny Wilson, maybe a little bit of Kenny Gainwell, who does look like he's going to clear concussion protocol. But ultimately, they don't have the depth that Kansas City has. However, they're much more top heavy. Like, Kansas City doesn't have anybody like A.J. Brown, much less anybody like Devontae Smith at this point. Maybe Xavier Worthy grows into that type of a player in the future. But anyway, it's going to be an interesting game. And this podcast really isn't about betting, but if you are interested in my betting recommendations, I have a whole breakdown article over at ftnfantasy.com where I give you picks from different markets, MVP, anytime touchdown, that sort of thing, give you a couple other wagers that I really like. So go take a look at that if you're trying to get some action in play. I will say, try to avoid the novelties, you know, the silly markets or silly trends. You know, like I have this trend about the uniform color. So teams wearing white are 37-21 all time. It doesn't mean anything. It's noise, right? It's definitely noise. It's not anything worth betting on. And, you know, coin flip, you know, it's dumb. It's tails is 30-28 all time, but it is literally a coin flip bet. And yet on a lot of books, you're going to see -105 or -110 on either side. Now, if that doesn't mean anything to you, let me just put it this way. -105 means you have to hit the wager more than 51.2% of the time to be profitable. If it's -110, it's 52.4%. Now, in certain markets, yeah, you can be profitable at those numbers. But when your wager is a true 50-50, which is what this is, it is impossible to be profitable. You cannot win a 50-50 wager 51.2% of the time over the long term. Nobody can. And don't tell me you can, because you can't. Nobody can. So you're actually losing 1.2% of expected value over the long term at -105 and then -2.4%. That adds up. That is terrible. That is the exact opposite of what we want for betting. So I have that in there. I have a couple things about Saquon. You know, his line is 112.5, and I'm not going to give a recommendation here, but I will tell you this. We haven't seen anybody since 2006 to top that line in the Super Bowl. Simply put, we just don't see those high rushing totals in the Super Bowl. It was Dominic Rhodes, by the way. And we have to go all the way back to 97 for TD for a running back over 125 yards. He went for $157 that year, but it's just rare. It is just rare. So keep that in mind. All right, let's go to the game picks here. So my projected score, which is not my subjective game pick, is 25.9-22.0, and that is Kansas City. So it is a 1.5-point spread. Some books have it at one. My projections don't agree. They have Kansas City winning by nearly 4 points. And sometimes I will go against that pick. And as a Philadelphian, it pains me to do this. I'm not a fan of either team because I love both teams. Like, I don't have one favorite team, and I love both, and I'm trying to I want to have a good game. But ultimately, I have to go with Kansas City here. I'm sorry, Philadelphians. Have to go with Kansas City. I'm not betting against Patrick Mahomes in a big spot, especially with a three-peat on the line. I kind of want to see that history made as well. It's not a knock on Philly, and I'll be very happy for all my Philadelphia friends and family members if the Eagles win. But you know, nothing against the Eagles. One team has to win. One team has to lose. I'm picking the Kansas City Chiefs. All right, that's going to wrap it up for me today. So remember, ftnfantasy.com. I'm going to come back next week, and we'll start to get a little bit more regular with podcasts here as we're now officially in off-season mode and the build-up to the scouting combine. So we'll come back. We'll recap the game. Then next week, we'll do some rookie content as well on the podcast. Can't wait for that. In the meantime, enjoy your Super Bowl. Enjoy it. It's the last game of the year. We'll have a while until we get NFL football again. So enjoy the game. Enjoy all the fixings for the game. Enjoy the halftime show, all that. And remember, follow along with me on Twitter @Jeff Ratcliffe, on Instagram @Jeff Ratcliffe. I'll catch you on the flip. I'm Jeff, and I'm out.